I thought that was the car passing by.
Welcome to GCast 47. This is a video cast, our first since, well, the PAX one, but our first real one with, like, people, other people from the site since 25. I'm Andrex.
I'm Astro Frost.
He's Astro Frost.
So, can you hear me?
Yes. Chess. Yeah. Who are you?
Jesse Stealthmaster. Didn't know how to say that.
Tabby.
Right. Yes, I'm Daystar on the forums, and my name's Tabitha. That's super.
I'm Tyson, known as Kanae on the forums.
Cool. We're having some kind of echoing problem. Let's just deal with it. Not a big deal. So, first topic.
Are there topics?
Yes.
I thought Andrews was the guy who proposed that the first do not have topics.
We do not have set topics going into it. I just came up with this off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's going well so far. Yes.
Your game, Kingsport Cases.
Whoa.
What's funded?
Kind of.
Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Kind of.
So why don't you tell us what the funding process is like, and what were your thoughts counting down the final 48 hours?
Yeah, in general, we had a lot of problems right from the get-go. Like, Kickstarter, I think, just has this image of being this super easy thing to work with, but it's actually really difficult, and they have a lot of these tiny rules that they don't tell you right away. So you're sitting there thinking, oh, our campaign's going to launch in 2 days, and it's going to be a piece of cake, when in reality, you know, you're sitting in the queue for, like, 3 or 4 days, and they nitpick, and then they nitpick, and then they... It was just complicated. We had a couple things. The whole funding process was... it was good overall. Like, the backer support was pretty phenomenal. And it's just that we couldn't really get enough exposure or enough interest, or we're not really entirely sure how we're gauging it yet. But at the end, we just didn't have enough funds to complete it just with backer support. So our producer threw in the extra 8K, and we considered it to be a noble, sacrificial thing, because, you know, if a company says, hey, we're not going to rely on generosity, we're actually going to come out and, you know, try and support our own project as well. You know, we thought it was a good thing. A couple people had a problem with it, but I think overall the support was really there, and it was really great to see the community come together like that. So we're excited. We're good.
Yeah.
The funding process is over, and we're ready to make Kingsport the best game it can be.
That's awesome. Yay. See, I thought it was an adventure game. I don't know why I got that vibe.
I mean,
maybe it was the teaser you released. But it's actually a horror game, right?
It is, yeah. Or it's meant to be, yes.
So one of the producers, right, funded the last 8,000, but he said that means you're still 8,000 short, and so you're going to be selling, like, pre-orders on the website.
Yeah, so we're going to open up, pre-orders. So, like, even if you pledged to the Kickstarter or if you didn't pledge to the Kickstarter, you can go in and pre-order the game, essentially, until September, which the reason we're ending it in September is because in October we're releasing our beta. And part of the benefit of pre-ordering is that you get the closed beta access.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I did see that you posted the alpha versions also. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, well, I think that the reason that we did that is, you know, we're new indie devs. We've never been out in the world before. And while they may not have been very polished because they were alphas, I thought it was important to show potential backers where we were in production, rather than just being like, hey, we promise that this idea is really awesome. You know, it's better to actually show people, look, there's atmosphere, there's music, there's characters, there's a storyline, you know, the UI might not be there, everything might not be polished, but we have a prototype of the game in the making. We needed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Good job on the Linux version. I was really happy to see that.
Yeah, we want to put it on as many platforms as possible. So, you know, getting it on the Mac and Linux platforms was 100% necessary for us. But we're building in Unity, so that's actually very easy. You just click a button, and it publishes to the necessary platform.
Yeah, that's cool.
Engage?
No, not yet. Maybe one day.
Virtual Boy.
That too. That's a little far back. I don't know if Kingsport would work. I think if anything, though, we'd be interested in the Oculus VR.
Oh my god.
That would make it more fun, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Depending on the success that it may have on the PC, Mac, and Linux, would you consider releasing it for console, either through Xbox Live Arcade or PSN Network?
Yeah, definitely. We would like to be able to do that. I'm pretty sure that the publishing fees to the Indie Arcade, I think it's just $100 to buy the developer kit, but I heard rumor that there's like a $30,000 commitment somewhere in there. I'm not sure. We'd have to look it up, but we do want to bring it to as many platforms as possible, assuming a mild commercial success of the initial product. However, with the Xbox One coming out and the PS4 coming out, we're not entirely sure if it would even be worth our time to release on a console on its way out. But then again, the Xbox One hasn't really struck a positive chord with Xbox owners, so I'm not even sure we'd consider it.
Well, the thing you have to take in mind is that Xbox 360 is not going anywhere. It'll be around for about... at minimum 5 more years, maybe.
Yeah.
if there were a commercial success, maybe in a year, yeah, it's still viable. It's still viable, I think, at least.
Yeah.
I was about to say the same thing. I think 360 will be a profitable platform at least for another year,
right.
If not a little more.
Right now, when did Sony stop selling the PlayStation 2? It was up until recently that they stopped selling those. I think in 2012, and that was like what, 5, maybe 6 years into the PlayStation 3's life.
That's selling the hardware, but yes. Software sales have been really low for the PS2 for several years now.
We'll have to see how these how the new platforms kind of like phase out the existing hardware. Now that during the PS2 and the Xbox, DLC wasn't a thing. So it makes sense. So I think it's definitely worth looking at.
Yeah. Cool. I'm sure everybody has their own questions for Kingsport Cases. We're all very excited at GForum. So keep posting updates in that thread.
Sure.
Kind of quiet there for a while.
This last month. I'm sorry, it's been a ride.
I'm sure you've been busy.
I know you know how it goes, Andrex. I know you know.
So we have another kind of guest who is hard to wrangle for this, Astral Frost, who recently had surgery. Welcome back to the internet.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I just had hardware removed from my leg because I had surgery 2 years ago, and one of those pieces of metal in my leg broke, and it was causing me a lot of pain. You know, I had that removed.
Was that cyber augmentation?
Yeah. Exactly.
Are you Adam Jensen Astral? Is that right? Are you?
He didn't ask for this.
I was part machine for 2 years there. I had all my augmentations removed.
Gosh, sounds painful.
So but now you're like, modern day riding.
He's like the reverse though, because he got made back into a normal person. He's like
right.
Us.
time paradox.
There you go.
Um. cool. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear you're doing pretty well. Of course, Stealth and Kane, you're both good as far as I know.
Well, there is something I want to ask LaFrost. How long was the operation? Because this type of operations can last several hours, maybe days, depending on the complexity.
Wow.
The original operation, which was an osteotomy, took an hour. This one took 15 minutes.
Oh, maybe. Wow.
Because they just cut it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he just he didn't even have to cut through the muscle. He just cut through the skin, moved the muscles aside, and unscrewed the plate from the bone.
Is this a hereditary condition, or do you just or you practice track, or something that involves heavy use of your legs?
It was just a weird genetic thing. Where my leg was kind of curved, my tibia was curved, and they wanted to fix that to even out my weight bearing. So that's what that was for. And then this was just, you know, getting the hardware out. Yeah.
I was just reminded of our awful vasectomy thread, you know.
Oh no!
Just in 15 minutes. It always surprises me how quick that operation is, because I don't like to think about it a lot.
It's basically scissors. I will wager on that kind of operation.
Okay, your topic.
No, it, no. I'm on the understanding that we're all adults here, okay?
I know, but it just surgery in general kind of weirds me out. And, that kind of surgery.
Yeah. Andrex doesn't like to think about scissors near his man parts.
No, I don't.
No.
There's a horror game in there somewhere. Maybe that's your next game.
Maybe, yeah.
or maybe you have an idea to inflict horror on Kingsport cases and will appeal to the likes of Andrex, a scissor phobia.
Yeah,
that's... If they have enemy AI, at least a level, kind of like in a Psychonauts fashion, that the Scissor Man is coming to get you.
Sounds like an Easter egg in the making.
Sounds like a game I would not play.
Oh, God, we lost it.
So, E3 is coming up. We could talk about it a little bit on the last podcast, but that was kind of wiped out for various reasons. I don't know.
It was Heather's fault.
What's there left to talk about? I mean, all the conferences, all the times have been announced, I think. Sony and Microsoft are on June 10th, Monday. And then Nintendo is doing their Nintendo Direct stream on Tuesday. Because they're not doing a traditional conference. We'll see how it works out. I wonder if they'll stick with it for E3 2014, or if they'll go back to having a conference like the other people. I don't know. We'll see.
If anything, I expect the Sony one to be more traditional, because they haven't unveiled their console. So if anything, that'll be the more traditional in sense. Type of a conference. Microsoft already announced the Xbox One, how it looks and all. And Microsoft is saying that during its E3 presentation, it'll be all about games. Nothing about media or anything. It'll be all.
Did they
about
say
games.
That?
There's a concept.
That was a journalist who said that.
They did. They did say that.
It'll be the first time in forever.
More Call of Duty.
That was the critique that that it was running around the internet last year, and I think it was the year before that Microsoft's media briefing has been way too entertainment centered, and I can understand the complaints because you're talking about entertainment in a more non-gaming sense at a gaming event, so people were right to be upset about that. So I see it as a valid strategy to get the media out of the way, and then on E3 focus all about the games. Microsoft said that for the Xbox One they'll have 15 new IPs. So if we'll get a glimpse of that coming through, it remains to be seen.
Side note. Xbox One, whenever people say that, I just think of the original Xbox.
It was a bad name.
Yeah, it is.
Typing it out, I like it, but when people say it, when they say Xbox One, I'm like, oh, the first Xbox.
Yeah. I don't know what marketing team let that through. I honestly could not imagine, because on Reddit, are any of you Redditors?
No, but
So they made a fake logo because somebody predicted that the name of the next Xbox would be Xbox Infinity. And, you know, they made it, and then the press picked it up before the announcement of the Xbox One, and like a bunch of press, like notable ones like Kotaku and IGN, were using this Reddit-made logo, you know, in their articles, like, oh, it's going to be the Xbox Infinity. And so there was this conspiracy theory that Microsoft did it just to piss off whoever predicted their name accurately on Reddit.
Infinity is a much better name.
Yes, it is, right?
That seems pretty petty.
Microsoft does not comment on rumors and speculation, so...
I mean, it's certainly not true, but it is funny to think about.
There's also the joke going on around that now the original Xbox is going to call the Xbox OG, baby. West Coast.
I think it was... Some people always called it the OG.
Oh. The OG?
You know what OG stands for, right?
Original gangster, right?
Exactly. That's precisely why I found it so catchy. But
that would be an awful name. No, well, not as bad as Xbox One, but I don't know.
But to bring a more positive outlook into the whole issue, if Microsoft happens to succeed at what they're planning to go to, this could give DVRs a run for its money.
It's true.
If it should Microsoft achieve what they're going for.
I actually think that what they did was dumb from the perspective of PR, but I think their messaging was bad, but what people are going to see at E3, they're going to forget all about this crap, because at E3 they're going to show $1 billion worth of investment in games, just games. They have more studios open now than they have ever in the history of Microsoft Game Studios. So I'm honestly not worried about them not focusing on games. What they're trying to do is have everything. They want to own the living room. That includes video games, right? So they're not going to have less games. They're not going to have... There's 8 new IPs, 15 exclusive games just in the first year or two.
That was the statistics, yeah.
Yeah, and actually Rare is actually going to be revisiting an old franchise, although if it's Kinect, I'm going to die. You know,
please,
Killer Instinct characters with giant heads.
No, please be Perfect Dark, and please make a Perfect Dark done right.
That would be nice, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Perfect Dark, Cyberpunk, we need some of that.
The thing that irked me about the original Perfect Dark Zero, I'm going to be talking about, it felt 5-6 years too late. It's like Rare didn't look at what Halo did, and because the original Halo came out in 2001, and then Perfect Dark Zero came out in 2006, and I would say that Halo revolutionized FPS gaming, and
absolutely, and then
it made it feel antiquated. So, it, as much as I love Joanna Dark, I have to say it, Perfect Dark Zero. I'm sorry, but if you were to came out during Xbox instead of 360, you may have had a chance. Also, there's the talk that Zero was originally made to be a GameCube game, so I guess the porting process took its sweet time to, but they couldn't get it ready for the Xbox. I would have launched it for the Xbox if I was in charge of a product at Rare, because come to think of it, Perfect Dark, the original one, came out at almost the end of the M64's life, and it was back then the pinnacle of the console FPS gaming. It was a really, really good game.
I'd like to add a point to that. They actually did, after the GameCube sequel was canned, they actually were making it on Xbox, and there's actually footage on YouTube that was leaked, and it actually looked really cool. And then they canned it, put it on 360, just like Cameo, right? Went from GameCube to Xbox to 360. So that's why, I think you're right, that's why that game feels like it plays from, like it's from 2002 or something. Like, it really is antiquated.
Oh, and also, don't get me started on Grabby the Ghoulies. That was so
cool. I like that one.
I did bought it because I'm a Rare fan, but it feels really awkward, really awkward. So
bad controls, right?
Yeah, the controls. The story was more or less it's digestible, I think, but the controls really killed it for me. Not so much the silliness, because it's, come on, it's Rare where we're talking about. They do silly games, but then. Because they also brought Conquer Bad Fur Day, it's called Live and Reloaded for the Xbox, right? Or was it the 360?
Mm-hmm. Xbox.
Yeah, that's one I didn't manage to buy. Another one of my favorite games, and no, not because of the foul language, but I don't think my 14-year-old would agree with me. Going back to Perfect Dark, I do really hope they revisit that. Killer Instinct, I was never a fan of that game. Then again, fighters are not my thing. Maybe, Gethsemane Radio, what's that name called?
Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, that was kind of fun too.
That was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't manage to play it. Also a shooter.
Was that a Sega game?
N64.
Ah.
No, it's all N64. It's about Rareware.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking about Sega. We're talking about Rareware. But a part of me wishes that Rareware would work back with Nintendo, because the best Donkey Kong games that have been released have been done by Rareware.
I would say the best Donkey Kong game was done by either EAD Tokyo or Retro. That is Donkey Kong Jungle Beat and Donkey Kong Country Returns, respectively.
I have not played the Reimagination of Country Returns, but Jungle Beat, I think you're trying to justify the version of the comics. but it was fun. Mostly because I was more turned on by adventure games back then, and I really enjoyed Donkey Kong 64. I really did.
Me too.
It was awesome.
I love that game.
I never played that game. It always seemed like a massive collectathon to me.
It was. That was what was great about it.
People will probably chastise me for this, but I did play Donkey Kong 64, but I never managed to play Super Mario 64. never master played.
Really?
No, I did not. Oh, wow. not on the 64, at least. I have played it on the emulator, but not the 64.
Well, I didn't play it until the DS version, so... It's a pretty good game.
I didn't manage to play Mario Galaxy Party. Way better. I didn't manage to play Mario Party. Those games were a blast. At least the N64 ones.
I've never played Mario Party. I'd rather play WarioWare, actually.
It's a collection of minigames as well, right?
Right. But what they're fun.
How does a bad guy or at least Wario that was presented as the bad guy turns up doing this silly stuff? Is there something that has been explained in the game or something?
He was the bad guy in the first game he was introduced in, which was Mario Land 2 for Game Boy.
Okay.
After that, he's never really been a villain. In fact, he had his own platformer, Wario World. Which was kind of bad. He had his own Wario Land series throughout the Game Boys. In fact, Wario Land took over Mario Land after a while. The Wario Land games are really fun. Because most of them you can't die. So you're just like reset to the start of the level, which I guess is like dying. I don't know. It's been a while since I played them.
I think my only experience with a Wario game was on the Virtual Boy. And yes, I do blame the Virtual Boy for me wearing glasses today. there was a Wario game for the Virtual Boy. I don't remember which one, but...
It was just called Wario Land.
Probably.
And most people think it's the best game for the Virtual Boy.
That's true. I heard that.
I think it was because it came with the Virtual Boy, not that it was a separate purchase. It's like buying it. I believe so. It's like you buy a Kinect today, it comes with Kinect Adventures, and it's saying like that's the best game ever made for Kinect. When it's in reality, it's very subjective. At least in my opinion, that would be damn central. I don't know. The Virtual Boy never really saw much support throughout his life.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. Wario Land might not be the best game ever, but it was head and shoulders above the other Virtual Boy games.
Yeah. I was more into Kirby and myself.
Kirby's cool.
There wasn't a Virtual Boy game.
I love Kirby.
I like drawing cats. See, look. I drew a cat this whole time. Can you see the cat?
Are we that boring?
No! I just drew a cat that I'd share. Gosh, why can't I draw cats? Love this.
I'm okay with that. Okay. Actually, that's a good point to end this podcast on. I wanted to do just a short one tonight.
Oh, really?
Thank you, Ruby, for showing up. Think of this kind of like as a test run for longer video podcasts on Google Plus, because they have the cross-posting to YouTube thing.
We got E3 next week.
Yeah. So we'll probably do one this Saturday. Probably Saturday. Yeah, should be fun.
This was awesome.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up.
Rest of
the
day.
Yeah.
Super fun, guys. You're all special.
Another episode that Jesse doesn't talk a lot.
This was poor Jesse.
Just having his presence there is reassuring.
It is.
Yeah, that means I'm alive.